Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at ccbci.org.
Practice personal evangelism. It takes practice to develop lifestyle evangelism. Let the living waters flow out of your life to other people. Have consistency. Paul was consistent in his evangelism. Important that we would do that too.
Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
As you know, we've been in the midst of a series here. The rest of the year we'll be in Ephesians, and then we'll go into Colossians, into the Word of God, we'll just continue through the New Testament as God has for us there. But I'm looking forward to the book of Ephesians. It's a very special book. I did say Colossians, but I meant to say Philippians because that follows Ephesians in that way. If you're paying attention at all, you could have pointed it out to me afterward. But Bill, what did you mean by that? Well, I'm not sure. It just came out. Just came out in that way. And so here for a number of weeks, we've been just looking at messages considering being radical for God. We looked at being radical for God concerning the Word of God. Just a reminder for us as a group of people that gather together how important the Word is. As we know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So we took some time to do that. We also took some time to consider our lives should be radical concerning prayer, that we should ask, seek, knock. Believe that God will answer our prayers and spend time with Him, be in prayer with Him, and meditate upon His Word that way in an attitude of prayer. And then we took an opportunity to look at a message concerning radical for God concerning discipleship. That was last week, that we are those that are involved in discipleship. Today is going to be a wonderful message, I believe, hopefully, anointed by the Holy Spirit, concerning radical for God concerning evangelism. Yep, evangelism. It's part of our life. It's a pretty good thing. We went out on Thursday night to this movie entitled The Least of These. Has anybody heard of that movie? The Least of These. I recommend it. And as it comes back through the city again, that you could go to see that. It's about a missionary and his wife and his family from Australia that went to India. And the man, whose name is Graham Staines, and his two sons were martyred for their faith in Jesus Christ. And Gladys, the wife and the mother, and there was another daughter who continued after their death ministering to the people there. And after the movie, and really enjoyed the movie, it was moving in many, many ways. They had people interviewing other people, and it was kind of neat. And a guy said something that really spoke to me, and it goes with the message that we have today. He said, 2/3 of the word God are G-O. And I thought, you know, I've never heard of that. Think about that. Two-thirds of the word God are go. We are to go. Look here in Mark chapter 15, where it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to whom? What's it say? Every person. We are to go. We're not to stay. We are to go. Wherever we may go, we're the Holy Spirit, and we are to preach the gospel to every creature. Now, I have a question. We're going to have a series of questions as we go through here. But listen to this question, please. How many here today came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ without a person involved with that? In other words, was there a person that was praying that you found out was praying for you? Was there a person that invited you to come to church? Was there somebody on a TV station? Billy Graham, for instance, was preaching the gospel. Did you hear a person on the radio? Did somebody invite you to come to a church? You heard the gospel message. Did you have a parent, a friend, anybody, a relative that was involved in your life and were instrumental in some way or just at least involved in you coming to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? How many would say that you came to the Lord without a person being involved in your life? Show of hands. Now, how many would say that there was a person involved in your life helping you some way come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? Look around. Keep them up. Okay, message over. Aren't you happy? The shortest message I've ever given. Okay, there it is. Right there for you and I. God uses, doesn't have to, but he uses us. So we get the amazing privilege to go into all the world and preach, share the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone that God would bring us in contact with. Now, you've heard the expression that we should share the gospel, and then if you have to use words, do it. In other words, our lives should show the good news of Jesus Christ. But don't let that hold you out. Don't let that be an excuse, hold you back in any way. We, I believe, are to be verbally involved in seeing people come to the Lord. It's an amazing thing. So we are to be radical for God concerning evangelism. Again, we are to believe that there should be change in our lives. Today, if we are to be radical, and maybe we need to be even more radical, we would be very, as radical the definition is, the unusual that can be brought into our lives that's out of the norm. Routine would be a habit, that which requires little effort. And so today we're just going to look at this wonderful, wonderful truth of evangelism. If you look, we're going to go on the screen. There's going to be different notes. We'll go through here, different things. The first one we're going to look at today is statements Jesus made concerning evangelism. We looked at the first one here, Mark chapter 16. Again, go into all the world and preach or share or give the gospel to every creature. That's the Great Commission. It's not intended to be the Great Omission. So you and I have the privilege. We've seen a real life example that it seemed like everybody. Now, out of the three services today, there was only one person. I couldn't see who it was. They were back in the cry room. I could see them raising their hand that they had some other experience, maybe with the Lord just speaking to them in a dream or a vision or whatever it would be. Statements concerning evangelism. Jesus Christ said this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes unto the Father except through me." That's an evangelistic message. That's how narrow it is for people to come and receive eternal life. Jesus again said, "I am the way. I am the life. I am the truth. No one, and no one means no one comes to the Father except through me." That's an evangelistic message. And the evangelistic message in many ways is a narrow message because there's only one path according to Scripture. Broad is the path to destruction. Narrow is that path that we are to follow. In Luke chapter 24, verse 47, it says this, that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We're to take the message of salvation, but the remission of sins is to be preached so people can give their hearts to Jesus Christ. It's an amazing message. It truly is. Our neighbor accepted the Lord. I don't know if I can see him in here, but I'm going to tell on him anyway. If you were here, I'm going to tell on you anyway. So they accepted the Lord. He and his wife accepted the Lord just a few months back and all. And it's just wonderful. I am so thankful that he came to Jesus. I really am, because he has a snowblower. And he's been out there in our cul-de-sac, and he's been doing everybody's driveway. And I'm just thinking, wow, you didn't do that before you were saved. Now he's saved, and it's radical. It's really radical. I've had to shovel very little, and I'm thankful for that. He's been getting cookies. He's been getting pies and cakes. I think that's his motivation. The gospel message brings change into people's lives. Listen to Acts chapter 26, verse 18. Concerning the purpose of evangelism, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in Jesus Christ. That's amazing. Listen again, these things. Number one, we are to share the good news of Jesus Christ so people's eyes can be open. Number two, so that they can turn from darkness to light. That's why we share. Number three, that the power of Satan would be destroyed. People would turn from the power of Satan and they would turn to God. And then we see the next one, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. Isn't that amazing? Forgiveness of sins. It's a wonderful thing that is given to us. And lastly, in this verse, it says, an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. We are going to see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. We're going to see our Father. We're going to see the Holy Spirit. We're going to see those that knew Jesus before and passed on, and we're going to be reunited with them. It's going to be an amazing time when we get there. And so some statements concerning evangelism for our consideration today. And the next thing I'd like to look at is Paul the Apostle made this statement concerning evangelism. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." I had to ask myself, I said, Bill, is this my life today? Do I burn so much to share the gospel with people that woe is me is the attitude of my heart if I don't share the gospel? What a privilege it is. Is this our attitude today? Or are we holding back in some way? You know, it's an interesting thing. What is it that we are to preach? Some people will say, I want to preach, I want to share, but what is it that I should share? So I got some scriptures there I'd like to share. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, we see that under the title, what is that that we are to preach? 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, it says, "For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus Christ." When we share with people, it's not about us. We can share our testimony, what God has done. We can share about how he is just amazing in our lives. And that's good, all of that. But we should always take them back to Jesus Christ. It's not about us. That's what we share, Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul told us what the gospel is when he says, "For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures." That's the message that we share. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting, eternal life." That's the message we get to preach. Christ came. He was born and became one of us. He went to the cross and died for us. We're going to celebrate his death in just a moment. And then he rose from the dead to the living so we can live forever and ever. Simple message. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, it says this, "For to me, who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." It's unsearchable. The riches of Christ are deep, they're high, they're broad. The unsearchable, that's what we get to share. Evangelism has been described, someone said, as one beggar telling another beggar where to find food. Simply where to find eternal food. It's there that we would do that. How are we to preach the gospel? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, it says this, "But as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who tests our heart." Sometimes it's hard to share the gospel, isn't it? I remember one time I was on a plane, and I've shared this before, but there are those that haven't heard this, and I think it's a great story. I really do. You let me know anyway if it is or if it isn't. But I always pray. I'm going to get it, not this Monday, but next Monday I'm going to be on a plane, and then the next week I'm going to be on another plane. So I start praying ahead of time and say, "Lord, put people next to me that I can share the gospel with." It's getting harder to do that on a plane. They hook in, they watch TV, they don't want to be bothered anymore. But I remember this one time I was one of the last people on the plane, and I had a middle seat. So as I'm going down the aisle there, I look at this young girl and this young guy, and I'm in the middle seat, and she's on the aisle, and he's on the window seat there. And I looked down and I said, "Yep, I'm your worst nightmare. I'm supposed to sit between you guys." So I sit down, and by this time, these guys have been going back and forth like crazy. They had just been talking. Just when I'm sitting down, you could tell that there was a chemistry going on, but not a good chemistry, to be honest with you. They're there, and so they take off, and we take off, and they keep going back and forth, and they're just using cuss word after cuss word. They're talking dirty. They're going back and forth. They really are back and forth. She's as bad as he is. And I'm just sitting there just, and just praying for him. And
everything. Lord, give me an opportunity. And then, you know, right, kind of, I was praying that, and all of a sudden, I'm looking out the window, and he's sitting over here, and I hear this voice behind me, and she says to me, she says, oh, by the way, sir, what do you do for a living? That was the first thing they said to me. And I thought, opportunities come in my way. But, you know, I turned to her, and I looked over to her, and I said, well, I'm a pastor. And then the guy behind me goes, oh, I'm going to hell. Isn't that a great story? It's a great story. I forgot what I said from there, but I didn't hold back. I just said, okay, open door, open door. There's nothing as exciting about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sometimes it's fun. Other times I've done that, and I remember this one young man I was teaching, or not teaching, excuse me, I was in the middle seat again, and I was just talking to him, and we were having a conversation and all that. Everything was fine until I started moving towards the gospel, and he picked up on it right away. Really, right away. Something has been in this guy's life for some reason. He picked up on that, and he shut right off. That was it. Did not say another word. I tried to, but not another word. And I thought, ooh, that one kind of hurts. But yet, I pray the conviction came on his life. We are to preach, not worried about how we are pleasing men, but we are to please God. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, it says, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. We got to be sensitive, but not overly, so it closes our lips. Many Christians are like the Arctic River. You've heard this, haven't you? They're frozen over at the mouth. Frozen over at the mouth. We can be that way. But eternity is there at, you know, they can go to heaven or they can go to hell. And God uses us, as we've seen when I asked you to raise your hand if you came to Christ without a person being involved in that way. Why do we need the gospel message? It's very simple. As you see there on the screen, it's Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. You guys know that, right? I always, when I get a chance to share in their opening, I'll try to go back to Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 7, because most people do not know why we need the truth of the gospel. They don't understand that there was sin in the garden. There in the garden, mankind was doomed to a physical death, as you know, but he died instantaneously. Adam and Eve did there a spiritual death. So that's why Jesus spoke to Nicodemus, right? In John chapter 3. And Nicodemus didn't get it. Jesus said, you must be born again. Nicodemus said, how do I go back into my mother's womb? I can't do that. He was zealous. He wanted to please God. And Jesus took him to where he needed to be. He elevated his thinking and said, no, that which is of the Spirit is the Spirit of God. That which is of the flesh is the flesh. But it must be a spiritual rebirth. Very important we would do that. Why do we need? Because the message is there that mankind has sinned and rebelled against God. The message of evangelism is the message of grace. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, it's very important. So let's take a little bit. Go to Romans chapter 3 now. If it's by the grace of God, what is the message that we can take to a person that we are evangelizing with? And I think the Romans Trail, you'll see it, it's right there on the screen right now. Let's just go through this. I encourage you to memorize the words that are found here. Just go through this. Here in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, it says, there is none righteous, no, not one. He goes on and said, there is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have altogether become unprofitable. There is none who does good. No, not one. So there's none of us as human beings that standing on our own can get to heaven. And so that's where it starts when we're sharing. We go to Romans chapter 3, verse 10. We don't have to tell them we're in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, but we go to the reality that is there. Then we go very quickly also to chapter 3, verse 23. You'll notice it says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's tied right in there. And then you go to Romans chapter 10, or chapter 5, excuse me. Go there to verse 8. It says, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. When we were sinners, Christ died for us. That's a wonderful message of the gospel. Then in chapter 6, verse 23, you see it there. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what?
eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So a gospel message is real simple. And then you get to Romans chapter 10. Please go there. Notice there you see Romans chapter 10 verses 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That takes a real belief. It takes action upon our lives. It's just not a mere mental assent to the reality. It's a change. We confess. We do about face. That's called repentance. And then we invite him to come into our lives and receive eternal life. It is the message of grace, as we see, and I've quoted in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So it's a beautiful message, and that's what we should do. I encourage you to memorize that, get an opportunity, practice it on each other in that way, you know, just share with you. There's nothing like acting out evangelism, you know, and I like being the hard guy. You ever do that? You got a person, sometimes we do it with the Bible college students. Okay, now you're supposed to evangelize me. And that becomes fun. And just, I like to resist the devil's advocate. I like to be that. But, you know, it's good that we would even practice that, because it is the message that changes people's lives. We must do the work of an evangelist. Paul said to Timothy these two verses, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. I'm not gifted as an evangelist. They say, the experts, church growth experts say, less than 10% of the church community will be gifted as an evangelist. Billy Graham was gifted as an evangelist. You know, Mike McIntosh, who I served, was gifted as evangelist. We used to have this expression, he could sneeze and somebody would get saved. It was just amazing, the gift. You know, we said that. One day, one guy walks in to the church, and he comes in and he says, I just accepted Jesus Christ this last week. And we said, how exciting. That is exciting. Thank you for coming today. How did it happen? Well, I was dipping, or whatever it was. Diving. Okay, sorry. I don't do it, so I don't know. You know, he was dumpster diving. He was there, and he's in there, and he pulls out a cassette. True story. Pulls out a cassette. It was a cassette we threw away for some reason about Mike McIntosh and an evangelistic message. He took it home and listened to it and gave his heart to Jesus. That is amazing. God can do whatever he wants to do in people's life. But we have the opportunity, though we might not be an evangelist, to do the work of evangelism. Right now, I don't know who's here. I don't know everybody in their hearts. And right now, the Holy Spirit, I pray, is doing the work of an evangelist through my life, though I'm not an evangelist. I mean, I can preach a message. I've had the greatest messages sometimes. I remember I was in Mexico one time. Can I tell on myself? Is it okay? No, I won't do that. It's too embarrassing. No. Oh, I should? Yeah, Jim? No. But anyway, yeah, anyway. So we were in Mexico, and Mike was preaching every night, and I had this opportunity at this place. I was really excited. It was back when I was a brand new pastor and all that, and I was going to get to share the gospel in this way. So I had this message, point to point, you know, and I felt it was delivered really well and all that, and I gave an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ, and guess how many people came forward that day? No one. He gave me one. He gave me one, and I was thankful for that. But that's the way it is. But that night, that same night, I remember Mike gave this message, and I thought, what a lousy message. I didn't say it out loud, but I thought, what a lousy message. Half of the people walked forward. That is not right. No, it is right. You know, it's an amazing gift. If you remember Billy Graham and just that time where he gave that message, and it was just a special time. I love that gift. But ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, we are to do the work of evangelists. Just trust him. We must do that work. Once when walking down a certain street in Chicago, D.L. Moody stepped up to a man, a perfect stranger. And he said to the stranger, sir, are you a Christian? You know, I don't know if he said it that way. But anyway, and then the gentleman said, you mind your own business. D.L. Moody replied, this is my business. It is his business. He was an interesting man. He covenanted himself with the Lord and said, I will not go to sleep until I have preached the gospel in a sincere way to an individual. I'll wake up and I'll continue. Maybe that was one of the times. He would walk the streets at night until he could find a person to share the gospel so he could go to sleep. What a heart. What about some conditions for evangelism as we're wrapping up the message this morning? And I love this. Number one, get right with God. It's important that we're right with God, a pure heart, Psalm 51. The cleaner we are from sin and self, the more we can be used. We can be those vessels. Number two, get filled with the Holy Spirit. It says in Scripture there that my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power. We must do God's work in God's way. That way is always Spirit-filled and Spirit-led. Get your priorities straight. Are my priorities in line with God? Does winning souls play a big part in my life, my day-to-day life? How much time is spent in prayer about the effectiveness of my evangelism? How often do I pray for the lost? Do I ever fast for their salvation? It's important. That's our priorities. To place our priorities in such a way that we're willing to share the gospel with another person. Be available is another condition. Expect God to use you. God is not looking for those with extreme abilities, just availability. Those that are young here, you that are just starting your life in special ways, you're going to relate to those that are younger. Those that are more aged, you're going to relate to those that are more aged. We go to those people, and if God gives us, crosses over in that way, definitely we share the gospel with anybody that comes our way, but be available. Expect God to use you. That's very important. We need to believe that God will use us. It's very important to do that. And God, I just pray in Jesus' name that you would use me somehow this week in evangelism. And we continue to pray that way. The more you realize you cannot do it yourself and trust in the Lord, the more you can trust him to do it through you. Ask the Lord for opportunities to share your faith. Do you do that today? Do you pray, Lord, give me an opportunity to share my faith? And then as soon as that opportunity comes, then step out and do it. I've shared this before, but I remember going through the cashier, the line with the cashier, and I knew the Holy Spirit was saying to me, preach the gospel, share the gospel with that girl that was checking me out. And so I went, no, not that way. On a cash register, okay? It just didn't sound right. I know it didn't really. That never happens, okay, by the way. That doesn't. Anyway, how do I dig myself out from that one? But, you know, I just went on and I just got up to her. And it was interesting that everybody, there was no one behind me. For some reason, there were people behind me. But when I got up there, there was nobody behind me. And there she was. And I don't know what I was supposed to say, but just maybe Jesus loves you, this I know, or encourage her in some way. And I walked away and I didn't do it. See, to this day, I'm still remembering that. Now, God didn't condemn me over that. He probably used somebody else, but I thought, opportunity lost in that way. Practice personal evangelism. It takes practice to develop lifestyle evangelism. Let the living waters flow out of your life to other people. Have consistency. Paul was consistent in his evangelism. Important that we would do that too. Consistency is important. Where should evangelism take place? Well, again, go to the highways and the byways. To Jerusalem, Judea, the ends of the earth, wherever you are to go. Evangelism must be done where lost people are. Allow yourself to go where lost people are. You're in the world, don't be of the world, but because we're in the world, go where people are. Don't isolate yourself in the Christian community too much. Be part of the Christian community, naturally. But get out among those. That's why I volunteered as a chaplain, to get out among that. That's why I'm volunteering now as a corporate chaplain, to get out among the people, to go to places, put myself, because I love you guys. I love being here. I love being among Christians. I love Wednesday nights. I love being together in those ways. But I got to force myself to get out there to be among people. It's very important. An old farmer was fishing at a tub of water in his backyard, and he was chided by his neighbor. His neighbor said, man, there ain't no fish in that tub. Why are you wasting your time like that? Yeah, came the reply. I know there ain't no fish in here, but it's just so powerfully convenient. So powerfully convenient. Many, many Christians are engaged in convenience evangelism. Let us get out. Share the gospel. Too many Christians are no longer fishers of men, but keepers of the aquarium only. We're to keep the aquarium, but let's get out and find those that need the gospel message. And for evangelism to take place, lastly, we must ask. We must ask. Somebody asked me, you want to go to church? Do you want to go to church? Okay, we'll go. Someone said to us, do you want to come forward and give your heart to Jesus Christ? They asked us, and we did. And so don't be afraid to give the ask. When Henry Ford purchased a large insurance policy, the Detroit newspapers blazoned the fact, since the amount was so large that he was, and it was so prominent. The story was read by one of Ford's old friends who happened to be in the insurance business. And the old friend went to confront Ford to see if the story was true. When Ford assured him that it was true, the friend asked him why the policy was not purchased from him, since he was a personal friend and had been in insurance for many years. Ford's reply was, "You never asked me. You never asked me." Learn to ask. It's very important, because sometimes it can be too late. We want to ask. And last story here, a Christian man was looking for an opportunity to witness to a devout Muslim whom he knew. And one day, the chance came when the Muslim was preparing for prayer. This man saw that he carefully washed his hands, washed his face, and other parts of his body. When he was through, his Christian friend told him that he had forgotten. He told the Muslim that he had forgotten to do something. And the Muslim, or the Christian guy said, "You forgot to wash your heart." And the Muslim said to it, "Don't be silly. I can't wash my heart." And the friend agreed and said, "That's right. That's why you need Jesus Christ." Amen? People that we know need Jesus Christ. They need to be forgiven of all their sins, and we get the opportunity to share that. So I pray the message today, simple encouragement: go into all the world, preach the gospel. If you have to use words, use words. Use your life. But whatever we do, make sure that people see the love of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And so, radical for God concerning evangelism. We're going to have communion now. Take communion. And I pray that the Lord will bless us in a very special way. So let's ask him to pray. Let's pray and ask him to bless us as we partake in communion. Father, we love you. We thank you for the simplicity of a message to encourage us to be people that share your good news. Thank you for sharing it with us. And Lord, if there's any here among us that they are not assured that if they die today, they would go to heaven, I pray that they would simply come with their lips, confess that they're a sinner unto you. They would pray and ask you to forgive them of their sins, and that they would receive you and invite you to be the Lord and Savior of their life. Lord, as we take communion today, may you bless us in a very special way. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey.